Hello, everyone. Good evening, good morning, good whatever. Welcome to episode 28 of Synthopsis. This is a special episode we're going to be doing together. This is called a sit-down with Synthopsis. In this special episode, we will be sitting together because normally we're standing. I don't know if you realize that, but every other episode, if you listen to any other ones, you were standing with me, but now we are sitting down. Crazy stuff. So, I wanted to do something different. I normally make my episodes very structured, very scripted, and that's the way I like to do it. I do my best to make every episode as thorough with the best possible examples that I can find of music, and I like to be calculating. That's just how it's fun. It's fun. But I kind of thought to myself, what if I did an episode where I did not script anything really, and I just sat down and just talked, basically. So that's what this is. I don't know how often I'm gonna do this, but there's a very interesting topic I want to talk about. And I don't wanna do it live because I don't think enough people care live to hear me go on and on about what synthwave is for like 20, 30 minutes-ish, I don't know. I don't even know how long this episode's gonna be. So I don't wanna bore anyone live. I would rather bore you guys off live. So we'll do that instead. Like I said, I have a few bullet points here, very, very broad ideas of what I want to talk about. But otherwise, this is very not scripted. This is going to be very genuine. I might say something very dumb. I might even say something controversial. We'll see. Nah, I'm not planning on saying anything controversial, though. But that's the glory of it. You have no idea what I'm going to say until I say it right. So let's get right into it. I will still structure this a little bit. Like I said, I'll just list the four bullet points that I have right off the bat, just because I can't resist structuring it a little bit, but so that you guys have a general idea of what you can expect to hear. First, we'll talk about the broad reach and scope of synthwave, why this is good and bad, why it's the all-consuming beast, cultural influence in synthwave. How much does this actually matter? How much of it is real and imagined? Interesting stuff. Is synthwave mainstream? This is a question that gets thrown around a lot. So people say it's mainstream. Oh my god, The Weeknd did a song. It's mainstream. Everyone's like, no, shut up. We're still obscure artists. And then the future. Yes, we are going to peer into the crystal ball of Synthopsis. I will pull out from under my robe. And we will take a look into it together to see what scariness comes in the future. Frankly, I don't want to because, every single person knows that this year has been a little less than stellar. We can put it that way, right? So, yeah, let's just go right into it. Let's go into section one, broad reach and scope of synthwave. Synthwave is from, my understanding is it was defined like 6 or 7, 8-ish years ago. You had Drive, you had Hotline Miami, you had these big things that came out and really kicked the ball and got the scene going. And it really got its idea and its image from the Outrun scene, retro stuff, scan lines, neon, all that jazz, like 80s inspiration. That's culture, that's later, but that's basically what it is. Is that what it is today still? Is it still that today, to speak better Englishes? Yes and no. Yes, because if you search synthwave, you will see scan lines, you will see neon, and you will hear, all the generic stuff. That was terrible. But you will hear it. So that is still what synthwave is. Synthwave has not moved on into something else completely different. But at the same time, it is much, much bigger than that. There are people that want synthwave to stay the same. They want it to stay this very Outrun stuff. Which is why I say Outrun. Because I honestly... You may even want to say that Outrun is a subgenre of synthwave. I don't know if that's really the case. But it could be. I mean... At this point, honestly. Maybe it is. I don't know. Or I don't know if it's been diluted that much. It depends. That varies from person to person. But besides the point, there is a lot of variety in synthwave. There is, even within dark synth, my favorite subgenre, there are like different types of dark synth, you know, a lot of different kinds of dark synth. There's a lot of different synth pop, and all the other subgenres have their own splinter groups. And then you have synthwave as a genre as a whole meshing with its border genres, chiptune, vaporwave, even more electronic stuff, deeper, I don't know, not more electronic, but like more modern electronic stuff, I guess, like dubstep. I don't know, no one listens to dubstep anymore, apparently. I don't know, but like all like the really gritty stuff that I personally, I don't like at all. I don't like that stuff. I really don't. But I mean, there are some artists that are meshing that stuff and the other genres that I mentioned into synthwave. Does it still qualify as synthwave? Yeah. It's now like synthwave with vaporwave. Synth vaporwave, I guess. I don't know. But it's still synthwave. And that is kind of the reality, you know. There might be people that want to deny that. They want to call it something else. Some people call them genre purists. Some people call these people genre purists, which I kind of, I guess, is a good term. You know, you want to keep it outrun. You don't, you're afraid, maybe you're a little afraid of losing something, you know. If the genre means something to you, if it changes dramatically, then you'll lose that. I understand that. But that ain't the world we live in, man. I hate to break it to you or say it, but synthwave is evolving. It is always evolving. It is very changing. So it doesn't really help much to really try to keep it in that bubble and just kick everything out. Not saying that a lot of people do this, but there are some. I don't really think it's a good thing to do. Of course, you're entitled to your own preferences and stuff, but you know, this is the whole broader talk. I don't know. This is the whole broader talk about like our genre name, like our genre is helpful or not. And I mean, I don't know. This is a whole different tangent. Maybe we'll add that as a bullet point. I might come back to it later. But let's stay on topic here. What is synthwave, right? I mean, fuck. Excuse me. Oh, I used profanes. This is supposed to be a friendly, family-friendly podcast, so your baby can listen to it and learn about synthwave from a young age. They can be the next generation's budding synth artists. So I apologize for teaching them bad word. But synthwave is this all-consuming beast, and it will like tag anything remotely close to it as synthwave. The best case in point is Masterbit Record, I think. This is a guy and his music. He gets classified as synthwave all the time. And frankly, this is something I did a lot when I first found his music last November. And for anyone that doesn't know, his music is not synthwave. It is like chiptune metal. That's the simplest way to describe it, right? It's chiptune metal. So why do so many people call it synthwave? There's a variety of reasons. The first of which is because synthwave does get mixed with chiptune a decent amount. So there's the idea of like chiptune has synthwave elements. Like it can kind of be synthwave, you know? And other facts, honestly, I think frankly the biggest reason is that his music is played on Night Ride FM, which is the home of synthwave radio. Like, you know, if your song is played on Night Ride FM, it should be synthwave. With that being said, do I think that non-synthwave should not be played on Night Ride FM? Of course not. No, I play Mastery Record stuff all day. I don't care. But I think it just goes to the point that it's very easy for the water to become very mucky and dirty, and people get very confused. And this is something he actually spoke about, and I actually got to talk with him about, you know, like why people confuse this stuff for synthwave. But the lines are not clear. And I think, well, why does this matter? You know, going on and on about this. Why does this actually matter? I think it's more a good thing. I think it's definitely more of a good thing that it's not very clear. It gives artists a lot more room to experiment and to fit themselves within this bubble to try something new. There's the idea, and I understand why people say this, but there's the idea that synthwave is very restrictive and very generic, and it's already been done a billion times. Every single artist is Scanline Chrome Neon Dude, and there's nothing new to try. If that's the case with you, frankly, I don't think you've done enough exploring, and I would encourage you to listen to new music and see what else is out there, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's a lot of artists doing some very, very unique things. People taking from all kinds of genres to make something new, you know? You can, for example, take from Darkwave, which is not Darkness, by the way, did a whole episode on it. You can take from Darkwave. You can take from metal. You can take from, I don't know, Celtic Black Cursed Death Metal. It's not even a thing. You can take Void Stare does like, he did like throat singing on his first album. You know, like, there's just so much room for innovation. You can take the synth, like, skeleton, I guess, and then slap whatever meat you want on it. Or don't even use a skeleton. Use a few organs. And then make the rest of the body something else. You know, you can use as little as much as you want. Just, you know. But that allows you to call it synthwave. And that means that you can tap into the synthwave fan base. And I think the synthwave fan base is very good. Of course, there are its fair share of assholes, as there are in all fan bases. But I think it's safe to say, if you're really invested in a genre as niche and nostalgic as synthwave is, you're probably very passionate. So if you make a good, unique music, chances are it will catch people's attention. And you should also market it properly. More on that in my other episodes, of course. But yeah, it really is an all-consuming beast that will kind of put its claws or its tentacles, whatever you will, on anything that it can. It's up to you really to think about, like, how much of this branding do you want? Do you want to be labeled synthwave or not? Because I guarantee you, if you don't want to be called synthwave and you use some synthwave, it will be called synthwave. That's just going to happen. Because people will just call it that as soon as they hear any semblance. It's the all-consuming beast. This is probably not the best reference, but my best idea of this is, and I love history, in the Gilded Era of American history, like the 1880s and 90s, when corporations were first coming out, one of the biggest companies was Standard Oil, and it was the first oil monopoly in the world in history. And there's this really famous cartoon of this giant octopus being Standard Oil, having its tentacles spread across the country, basically, and like controlling all the oil companies, because it was the first, also like one of the first monopolies in business history. And honestly, I kind of see synthwave to be a very similar beast. It will spread its tentacles as far as it can possibly reach and claim whatever it can, though obviously it's not as nearly as sinister as, you know, a monopoly that essentially enslaved people. But, you know, it's still a similar premise, sort of. But yeah, I guess we'll leave it on that on part one. I don't know if I'm going to do a song break. I guess we'll do a song break now, probably. That's probably a good idea. So here's a random song I haven't thought of yet. Enjoy. We are back with part two. Hope you enjoyed that song. Still don't know the name. Let's get to part two on cultural influence. How much does cultural influence, and I mean like pop culture, how much does that stuff actually matter nowadays in synthwave? How much of it is real and imagined nostalgia? This is a really interesting thing to me because synthwave is built upon a memory. Or a memory that's a memory of the future. Someone put it really well. I can't remember exactly. It's like remembering the... I can't remember it. But it's built upon the idea of like remembering the past with a futuristic touch, kind of. You know, like it has like these very hefty tropes from the past and like, you know, like movies and culture and like all that stuff. All the aesthetics are just, it's core to the genre. It's core. I don't have to sit and explain this stuff to you. You all know this already. You can tell me to shut up right now. I can feel it. But you know, that stuff's all very important in the beginning of the genre when it was first coming out. Does it still matter? I think it does still matter. Because it's identity, you know. If you see scanlines on someone's music video, you will probably think this is synthwave, this is retro. If it is not, actually, this is a better way of putting it. If you see scanlines on someone's music video, like let's say you're on YouTube, you listen to a video, but the sound is off, but you see like scanlines and all that stuff, and then you turn the music on and you hear something that's not synthwave, there is going to be some very strong... I think cognitive dissonance is the right phrase. I'm not, my brother's a psychology dude, but you're going to be very confused because you're going to want to think this song should sound like synthwave, but it doesn't. And I think this is, may even be the case for people that aren't huge fans in the synthwave, because I mean, retro stuff is popular. I'm sure like people here and there have definitely heard like popular retro tunes here and there, like maybe Dimmy K's like Witcher remix or stuff like that, you know, in passing. So there's the association of scanlines and retro stuff with synthwave, you know, the two go hand in hand. It's hand in glove, right? So how much does that still matter? I think it does matter still, because it gives identity. And at the same time, I don't think it matters, because like I said, people are always experimenting and trying new things and taking from different sources and whatnot. And maybe it matters more than it doesn't matter. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. Awkward silence. I don't really know, actually. I should know. You would expect me to know right now, but I'm just going completely off the cuff. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if doesn't matter is the right way of putting it. I think relevance is better. Is it relevant? It is relevant. It is very relevant. I'd say, I think it's very relevant. And, I think it will always be a core part of the identity. The sound, like I said, the sound and the aesthetics go hand in hand. I think it's important that they do, which now makes me sound like a genre purist. Not so much that it has to be that way, but I think when it stops being that way, something big will change. So, how much of it is real? You know, to a certain degree, it is real. I mean, I am a Zoomer, relatively. This is the very interesting thing, actually, about... I mean, I know for the past 5 minutes, I basically said nothing, so I apologize. But this is actually something very interesting I want to talk about. One thing that I actually like about this genre, and it's very interesting, I said interesting 5 times, is that it brings together a lot of different people, especially people of different ages. Because there are people, there are older people in their 40s or 50s, maybe like in their 80s, I don't know, you guys, I'm kidding, that listen to this stuff and love to make synthwave because it does remind them of an actual time period that they lived through in their lives, the 80s. And then you have the Zoomers like myself that are in their 20s and just like the aesthetic and they like the look and they like the sound. Most importantly, I love synthwave because it sounds good. The aesthetic is cool, but I'm in it for the sound, you know? The aesthetic is a plus. It's a big plus for me personally, but it's mainly about the sound, first and foremost. So I guess for at least for me, the culture only matters so much. But that's the interesting thing, though. Like when I went to a Magic Sword concert, I went with some friends and I saw older people there, and I was like, well, what the hell? Like, I thought you guys only existed on Twitter. You know, it's like they do exist in real life. And that's kind of cool. It's like this real mix of like people that just love this stuff because it reminds them of something special to them. And other people like myself that just find it online and they love it. And then they go see it in person, you know? So I think this very interesting blend of actually taking something from the past and drenching it in like a modern, because that's what synthwave is. It's taking an old sound and an old feel and drenching it in a modern tone, right? I guess that's a good way to put it. And that's what synthwave is. And yeah, I think once it starts moving beyond that, then it changes into something else. But I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. I don't feel like I have anything else to add on this topic, so let's keep going, I guess. I think I butchered that section. Whatever. Is synthwave mainstream? Part 3. I think most people would say no. I bet if I ran a poll, I would bet most people would say no. There are a few people that say yes. I know one person that says yes all the time. The reasons being why people say yes, let's start with that. Because there's elements of synthwave like being used, like The Weeknd, you know, makes very strong retro references, and other people. I don't listen to pop music, so, you know, I'm not the best person to talk about this really, honestly, but like it's seeping into some of those things, right? The aesthetic. But I think that's what's seeping into the frame. It's the aesthetic. It's not necessarily synthwave itself. But then you have more examples like Tesla using Makeup and Vanity Sets song without her permission from for their Cybertruck, I can't remember what it's called, video. And other stuff like that. You know. So in a sense, it does go mainstream from time to time, but it's like if you, this is actually a good example. If you try to light a fire, if you take some wood and you don't arrange it properly, you just throw on a bunch of gasoline and light a match, you will get a very big fire. I promise you, you will. But that fire, if you do not actually build it properly, it will go out in a few minutes. That's basically what I think it's like. It's not this long, burning, consistent fire over time. And it's not even like you have this giant gas explosion fire that then turns into a consistent fire. No, it's a really big fire, but then it goes away. It dwindles. Synthwave, like, maybe gets this it gets its moment here and there, like with a popular song. But it doesn't mean that, oh, now Scattle is mainstream. Perturbator is mainstream. You know, I'm mainstream. We're all relatively still small artists, you know, we're all still in a niche community. And it honestly, I don't know. I mean, I don't think these kinds of big things will make it go mainstream. I'm not a music doctor professor, so I can't tell you what will make it go mainstream. But those are the reasons people say that it is mainstream, that I guess they think it's prevalent enough that it qualifies as mainstream. But then, you know, that's subjective, because what qualifies as mainstream and what doesn't, I don't know. You know, I don't think it's really mainstream, though. Personally, I think it's a bubble. It's a very niche genre. You find about it randomly on the internet, and then you stay in it because you love the sound, and it has a cool aesthetic that you like, basically, yada yada. So I don't think it is. And the future, part 4. I'm kind of flying through this episode, but that's good. Good to condense my ideas. Part 4, the future. What does the future hold for synthwave? Crystal ball time. Actually, I'm going to take a water break. Guys, also, stay hydrated. Drink water because your body needs it. Your body is telling you right now, drink water. Go. 1 second. Drink water with me. Beautiful. Very refreshing. Okay. Hope you guys enjoyed your water. Let's finish this bad boy up with part 4. I already forgot the bullet point. I'm very professional. The future. Yes. The future. Suddenly I realized that it's impossible to know the answer. No, I think there actually is potential for Synthwave to keep growing. And to get bigger. Of course, how bigger, you ask? I don't know. Not mainstream big, but definitely keep bigging. Getting bigger. Hopefully to the point where, like, artists can start making a living, but I know it's really, really hard to make a living off your music. Even, like, 30 or 40, 50,000, which is still, like, not a crazy amount, you know? I know that's insanely tough. But the reason I think that's the case is because Synthwave is objectively good. Now, you might say you are a little biased in Thopsis guy. And yeah, I am slightly biased, you know. I kind of enjoy Synthwave. But I think Synthwave is objectively good. And I think it sounds good in a way that captivates people, you know. You don't have to like the 80s. You don't have to like electronic music. You don't have to like any of this stuff to like Synthwave. It doesn't really have, like, an entry. You could even call it maybe, like, the gateway to electronic music. It's very kind of, a lot of it is very chill, very easy on the ears. You know, like, a better way to explain this is, like, if you try to listen to rock, but you go straight to, like, black death metal, I can't really imagine someone liking that right away, you know? It's easier always to, like, get eased into things, I guess, and I'm sure it's a taste with music. But I feel like Synthwave is very easy to enjoy and listen to, and it's good. It's still very, very good. And there's some phenomenal songs out there, and people still making awesome music. Constantly. So why shouldn't it be big? Why shouldn't it keep growing? Someone tell me. You can't tell me. Because I'm by myself right now, and you can't. I'm by myself. I'm kidding. Not actually sad. Don't be concerned. I'm fine. but I do believe that. I believe it does have the potential to get bigger. So now maybe you're a little excited and charged up. You say to yourself, Synthopsis guy, how does it get bigger? Tell me, please. And again, this is why I keep beating the dead horse about social media and marketing. I had never interacted with the producers before I started doing this podcast, and I kind of assumed that producers knew everything and cared about social media and marketing, and frankly, that is not at all the case. It is not at all the case, and that's why I got inspired to do a bunch of episodes, like in the middle, like the tens episodes about like networking and social media and all that stuff, because I felt like there was a void, and like I feel like people need to know this stuff, because honestly, guys, the maxim of social media is you don't exist if you don't make yourself exist, basically, right? If you have phenomenal fire music, but you don't market it very well, you don't really spend some time trying to get the word out properly, you may as well just be dead, you know? You could hope and wait that someone finds you and you blow up, but what are the odds of that, really, you know? I think collectively, if more artists and more producers try to teach themselves and learn more about social media marketing and how to branch out and get not just listeners within Synthwave, but people outside of Synthwave to listen to their music, that's how the genre grows. That's how the genre gets bigger, when you reach people outside of Synthwave. How do you do that? I mean, I guess we can do a crash course real quick. It's always good to hit adjacent places. So, for example, a place where people could like Synthwave, you know, some relevant subreddits, maybe if there's a game like Katana Zero, example, or Hotline Miami. Actually, Katana Zero is a better example, because people that like Hotline Miami, they like Synthwave. Katana Zero is kind of a better example. It has the aesthetic and the feel, if you guys aren't familiar, phenomenal game, by the way. It's very neon, it's pixelated, so it's basically 2D Hotline Miami, but the music doesn't sound as synthish. So, you could kind of, like, talk to someone that likes Katana Zero and be like, hey, I have a song that sounds like that, but it's synthwave, and they could listen to it. And because they already have like that familiarity with the aesthetic and with the sound, they could be like, oh, this is very easy to get into and I like it. And then that person becomes your fan, and then they get into the rest of synthwave. They get, now they're stuck in the bubble forever. Evil laughing. But that's, you know, that's not the best example, but that's really like, you don't go up to the guy, the random dude across the street and say, hey, buy my mixtape. You know, let me listen, tell me, listen to my synthwave. What do you think? Like, that does not work. That is not at all how social media works. You know, you wouldn't do that in real life. And I guarantee you, in real life, no one wants to buy your mixtape, unfortunately. And you wouldn't do that online either. It's all about being very planned and trying to reach out to people that you think are already kind of familiar with your topic and what you're doing. This applies to businesses as well. You know, you got to hit people that are close to your base. Not in your base, but close to your base. Both. I mean, in your base, yes, but out of your base too. So, I think if more people try to do that, the genre will get bigger. And I think it definitely could get bigger. But until then, until artists take action, and until people like myself take action, frankly, I need to do more. You know, I'll be responsible and admit it. I need to do more social media marketing myself. I'm kind of a hypocrite, honestly. But until all that happens, the genre is not going to grow. I don't think it will die. I think it's pretty healthy. I think the best metric for if the genre will die is if people stop making new synthwave. If new artists stop appearing, if new Twitter profiles stop appearing, then it's declining. But that is not the case. I'm always seeing new synthwave Twitter bios all the time, and it's inspiring because people still care and they want to try their hand at it. So that is my two cents on what synthwave is. I'm glad this only took half an hour. I thought it would take a lot longer. So I hope you guys enjoyed this bit. Do I want to close with anything else? I'm not going to do a last five, by the way, because I'm going to save that for my normal episode. Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed this. If you like this format, let me know. If you don't, let me know. But I want to do something a little more chill. It's relaxing for me. Online, live is very fun, but it is a little more stressful. I've gotten very good at not being too anxious and stuff. But it doesn't let me be as free as I want, you know. I feel comfy here. I'm just like chilling. But online is like, hello, I'm Dr. Synthopsis. That's a terrible voice. I should never do that again. But, you know, it's just much more formal. At least I treat it that way. So, in any case, I'll stop rambling. I love y'all. Stay safe. Support your favorite artists, please. It means the world to them, especially in our tough times. Please support them, especially on Bandcamp days. Buy their merch, etc. I may be making t-shirts soon. I don't know. If you care about the podcast that much, stay updated on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Synthopsis Pod, please. At Synthopsis Pod for updates and other bullshit. Sorry, I cursed again. Sorry to kids. And peace out, guys. Love y'all. Bye.